30.
Listo.
That was a song. That may be a good sheer title for you. Time has come today.
Someone did it right.
The sheer title?
The time has come today.
Yes.
That's from Duff.
I got disconnected.
The Chambers Brothers.
Yeah, that's long enough to say. He looks for song titles that can match, good Musser moments.
If this is working properly here. Yehuda, can you hear me? Just shake your head. Okay, so it's working? Yes, okay, great. Okay, now see also if you can set it up.
How's that?
Yeah, I hope it's good. So, Moshe, you may recall that yesterday we discussed the Mahadran and the Mahadran Mina Mahadran, and we spoke about the requirement of another Ner, of a Shamash, in order to allow that you benefit from the candle, because we're going to assume that Oso L'shtamish Li'ora. But if you add another candle, then that's okay. We also had a discussion yesterday about the name Chanukah. And we offered a whole bunch of possible explanations for the name Chanukah. So those were some of the topics that we discussed yesterday. Now, before we start our discussion for today, I'd like to share with you a piece in the Mishnah Brura, and more specifically in his Beir Halacha. The Chofetz Chaim wrote, as you know, the Mishnah Brura. And when he gets into a serious issue and he wants to delve into it, he makes his comments in the Beir Halacha. Shalom Aleichem, Don. How are you?
Fine.
Okay. I don't understand what you're saying. It sounds Greek to me. Just kidding. Okay.
Appropriate for Hanukkah.
He says the following. Nira Li, whenever the Mishnah Berurah says Nira Li, it means you have to perk up. He's saying a chiddush here. He says Be'inon Be'es Hadlaka, what we require at the time of the Hadlaka is Sheyeh Kol HaNeros Lefi Cheshbin Hayomim. Now again, at this point, Cheshbon HaYomim, he's referring to Mahadran. Correct? So the Mahadran want to reflect the number of days of Hanukkah in the number of candles that you light. I'm sorry, did I say Mahadran? What I meant to say is Mahadran Mina Mahadran. I was just testing to see if you were paying attention, that's all. So the Shulchan Aruch says that HaMahadran Min HaMahadran is going to add each night an additional Ner to reflect the Minyan HaYomin. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to know the following. Is it crucial? Let's dramatize it. Let's say it's the eighth night of Hanukkah. So how many candles are you going to light? Eight candles, right?
Plus the shamash.
Okay? Is it crucial that you have all eight candles lit at the same time? They're all... Shalheves is one, two, three, you can count eight at the same time. Or the other possibility is that I could light it piecemeal. So for example, we have a principle called, which is codified here in the Shulchan Aruch, that Kavsa Ein Zakik Lo. What would be, for example, if he were to light the first of the eight candles, we'll call it time T1, and by the time he gets to time T8, for one reason or another, and he's about to light the eighth candle, the first candle that he lit, or for that matter, any of the other candles, I'm just giving you one example, don't get hung up on the first candle, any of the candles, went out. And now the question is, can he fulfill the requirement of Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, because he lit eight candles? Or do we say no? In this case, Kavsa Zakik Lo, everybody would agree that in order to achieve the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, again, he's not obligated to do so, but if he wants to be Mekayim the Mahadrin, Mahadrin, here Kavsa Zakik Lo, because you have to have all eight candles, which reflects the Mispar HaYomim, lit simultaneously. I'll read it to you again. He says, Nira Li, Debeinon Shevishas Hadloka, Yu Kol HaNeros, Lefi Cheshben HaYomim. I'm going to take a little bit of poetic license here. I'm going to add one word, just I think clarifies a little better. Sheyu Kol HaNeros Dlukim, that they should all be lit, lufi cheshben hayomim, v'oz nechshar l'mahadr min ha-mahadrim. Valken, im kovsa achas mehem, kodem shehishlim es hadloka. So one of them went out before he got to, again, in our scenario, he got to number eight. Is tzorech lachzar uladlika. Just in terms of the mechanics of it, it's a wild idea because, you know, the Shulchan Aruch says Kavsa Ein Zakik Lo, and the Shulchan Aruch also codifies the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. You know, the Shulchan Aruch never bothered to add the two together, you know, to churn them up and spit out the following exception that I can tell you that Kavsa Zakik Lo within the context of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Why is Kavsa Zakik Lo in the context of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin? Because of the premise that he needs all the Neros Dlukim Lefi Cheshben Hayamim, he needs that all the eight candles should be lit simultaneously. V'oz Nechshav L'mahadr Min HaMahadr.
I don't understand. What difference is it? You're making a specific point that this only is a case where it goes out while he's lighting them. Or are you talking about...
Well, before he completes the lighting of all of them,
why,
right?
Why? What difference is that to 5 minutes later when one goes out?
Because then...
Because if at the beginning of your five-minute period you had all the nearest dlukim, then at that point you clinched the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Why? Because the Roeh sees eight candles, or whatever the number of days are. So you've accomplished the goal of the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, which is Kineged Mispar HaYomim. But he says... If you get into a situation where before you complete the Keneged Mispar Yomim, you know, you got to get to that Mispar, and now one of the candles goes out, then you never really had Keneged Mispar Yomim. We're not going to calculate, according to the Mishnah Berurah, what was lit before, add that to the numbers, and say, well, okay, now it's extinguished, but nevertheless it was lit at some point. And integrate that to form the number, whatever the number is, eight, we get an
example. It goes back to the original question of is the mitzvah lahadlik or is it ne'adalik?
That's what he's saying. The Mishnah Berurah wants to say that with regard to the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin, everybody agrees you need a Ner Dolk. Why? Because the whole thrust and accomplishment of Mahadrin and Mahadrin is to see the Mispar HaYomim in front of your eyes. So the fact that you did Hadlaka, but that Hadlaka is gone with the wind because the wind blew it out, then you no longer have the achievement of Keneged Mispar HaYomim. So here everyone agrees that I need a Ner Dolok to achieve the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Mm-hmm. Now again, you might ask a different question. Let's say, according to the Mishnah Brura, what would be if he has to rekindle the light? You remember we discussed, and what I'm about to say is according to many Rishonim, not according to all Rishonim, but if you hold Kofsa Zakik law, and the classical Kofsa Zakik law of Rav Huna, then when you rekindle the light, you have to make a new bracha. Why? Because the mitzvah is ner dolog. Here, I doubt if the Mishnah Brura would allow you to make a new bracha. Because what's your goal in this case of Kofsa Zakik law? Which is called what in our Gemara's language? That's called Mahajrim in a Mahajrim. So for the sake of Mahajrim in a Mahajrim, I don't know that there would be a bracha.
Because maybe Mahajrim in a Mahajrim, you don't have near Dolok. I mean, you don't have the actual mitzvah of Adlaka. Adlaka, just plain Adlaka, doesn't occur until you do all eight. Maybe that's what you said. That doesn't actually, because all eight are connected as one Adlaka. So you wouldn't make enough bracha, because it really is one Adlaka. You have to do all eight. Your bracha is on all eight.
No, but I'm asking a different question, Osha. I'm saying, yeah, the bracha was on all eight, correct? But now one went out, right, and I have to rekindle it. So right, can I make a bracha on that rekindling in order to achieve that luck on all eight?
Because you didn't. Because it's still if you haven't done all eight yet, you're still in that first bracha. What I'm saying is that's you're still in that bracha of all eight. That's once he's making that bracha, he's making that kavanah is
right,
all eight.
But I don't know if brachos depend upon your kavanah. I think brachos depend upon the mice, right? That's called overlasiyosa. She says, "Asher kinshar mitzosovet timonu lahadlik." And now your lahadlik is on eight, but you never succeeded in achieving the eight. Because again, from the perspective of Mahajrim and Mahajrim, you have to achieve all eight.
That's why.
So now the original bracha of lahadlik, with all due respect to your intention, never reached fruition until you rekindle that light. So on the rekindling of the light, which is now going to clinch the hadlok on Shmona Neros, I should be making a bracha. But the answer is, I don't make a bracha. Why not?
Part of the original idea.
Because again, once you yotzei the Iker mitzvah, so take for example, I have two esrogim on the table. One is a simple esrog, you know, the barest minimum. Yeah, I bought it secondhand for 10 shekel, right? I bought it on eBay, you know what I'm saying? It's a kosher esrog. I got the hechsher from the Rabbanut, you know what I'm saying? Now I have another esrog, and it's the most beautiful esrog in the world. I take the first esrog, and then I say to myself, oh no, I have a more beautiful esrog. I want to take the second esrog. Would I make a bracha on the second esrog?
No.
Why not?
Because you fulfilled your mitzvah.
Exactly. The bracha is only relevant if I haven't yet fulfilled my mitzvah. But once I fulfill my mitzvah, now I want to be Makayim a heder mitzvah, then there would be no bracha.
So there might be a difference between if one candle blows out versus all the candles that you lit blew out. Because as long as one candle is lit, you fulfilled the mitzvah.
No. Even if all the candles go out, we're poskiting. That's what the Shulchan Aruch codifies. That kopsa ein zokah klo. The Mishnah Brura is saying, he's adding the following qualification. When do we say kopsa ein zokah klo? That's as far as the Iker mitzvah is concerned. But if you want to fulfill the Mahajrin mina Mahajrin, you're going to have to apply the principle of kopsa zokah klo. I was just asking, would there be a brach? And I'm suggesting that there's no brach on a hinder mitzvah, because even if all the candles went out, you fulfilled your mitzvah, because we hold kopsa ein zokah klo. Now, what do you want? You want to achieve the Mahajrin mina Mahajrin. That's a wonderful achievement, but it doesn't justify a bracha. We don't make a bracha on someone who's not a bar chiyuva, and there's no chiyuv of Mahajrin mina Mahajrin. David, did you want to say something before?
No.
Now, all this I saw in the Mishnah Brura.
Yeah. Can I talk at all about the order that you light them?
Oh, you mean whether we start from the left or from the right?
Do you
make a bracha on the additional candle? Is that what you mean?
Well, or I mean, here, if you lit them out of order,
I'm not sure I follow your logic, Steve. What do we make what order? The end goal, you know, the goal line here is to get the eight candles or whatever the Mispar Yomim is.
So,
why is the order significant?
Well,
I'm missing your point.
I'm asking, is the order significant?
I don't think so. Again, I don't know. You're probably asking a much more sophisticated question than what it was niklat, you know, what I absorbed. But if you're asking about sequence, I don't know that there's any sequence. There's going to be a long discussion here about whether you should light from the left to the right or the right to the left. You know, we light from right to the left, but, you know, anything we do is under question as far as our shir is concerned. Because when you go back to the basics, you know, you're going to see that everything's an issue.
Yeah,
David just wanted to say something before.
You mentioned the two esrogim issue.
Right.
Why is it when we drink wine, we get bracha on the wine, but if you have better wine, you get bracha on...
That's what's called the Birchas Shevach V'Odoyim. In other words, if I have to thank Hashem for a brand new entity that I'm enjoying, like if there's a Hatova Sayayin, that's a Birchas Shevach V'Odoyim. But a Birchas HaMitzvah means I can make a bracha on this mitzvah because Hashem Kitshonu Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu. And it's no V'Tzivanu if I've already taken the Esrei. Ruven?
You initially raised the question if they all have to be lit at the same time. So as you're lighting, it goes out and you can't get all of them to lit.
Unless you rekindle the one that went out.
Right. So when is it do you feel...
the very moment that there's in front of your eyes, you see Mispar Yom, whatever the Mispar Yom means. But you have to see in front of you. See, the Mishnah Berurah has a gewaldig chiddush over here. I'll tell you why this is a big chiddush. Even if I grant the Mishnah Berurah's assumption, which again, Vinir Ali, he doesn't have any proof for this, that Mahadrin requires Keneged Mispar Yomim simultaneously, that I can see now in front of my eyes all. I'll grant that, because intuitively I think he's right.
Because
of Hekera. I mean, he doesn't need my Askar, right?
Otherwise, no Hekera.
But here's where the Gevaldig Echidish is of the Mishnah Berurah. I'll grant you that you require that the onlooker should see Mispar Yomim, and we need all eight candles or whatever number it is simultaneously. I'm going to grant you that. But there's still an unbelievable chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. I'll tell you why. Because when I tell you that I need the Mispar HaNeros that reflects the Mispar HaYomim, and that's the only way I can achieve the Mahadrim and Mahadrim, does that mean that I could just take a candle and calculate it in my number? You know, I need eight, so just take any candle that you want. When we say that Mahajim and Mahadrin is going to require the Mispar HaYomim, don't we have to add another qualification over here intuitively? The Mispar HaYomim is generated by another Mispar. Mispar HaNeros. What Neros? Any Neros? What do those Neros have to have? What status do they have to have? I'm sorry, I'm like a dentist there pulling teeth, and I'm not a good dentist, but... Phil, do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
Full of shit.
What kind of... You know, a Ner falls down from the heavens, you know, and it happens to add to the number and mashlim, and it completes number 8. Is that Mahadrim and Mahadrim? What kind of a Ner do I need? Ruven, do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
A lit one. Obviously
a lit one. What else? Any lit candle is good enough?
A Ner Mitzvah.
A Ner Mitzvah. I need a Ner Hanukkah. Oh, now here's the Gevaldige Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. I lit a candle and it went out. Now take another candle and replace it. Now again, it gets complicated because maybe the Mishnah Berurah would say that there's still some oil left in the original candle. I don't know. But what would be in the following scenario? Let's say the man lights very slowly. He's an elderly gentleman. It takes him a while, you know, until he lights 8 candles, right? And in the meantime, the oil that he placed into the first candle was completely extinguished, completely exhausted, consumed. The Mishnah Berurah is telling him, now take another candle to replace the candle that was consumed. That's called Kavsa Zokikla, in order to achieve Mahadrim and Mahadrim.
Does he say that? He doesn't say that.
But I'm saying, let's look at the case. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell you the following. When can I pull the shtick? And even though it went out, I can still achieve Mahadrim and Mahadrim. That's only because there's something left in the original candle that went out. But if there's nothing left, you're out. The Mishnah Berurah seems to imply that Yadlik ner ech acher, right? But what's his language? He says tzorach lachzor uladlikus. So I don't know if he means to you know. And even if, I'll tell you the honest truth. Even if he would tell, let's assume that the case is the following scenario where there's still some oil left after it blew out, after it was extinguished. Again, which I don't believe that's the pshat in the Mishnah, but let's say that would be the pshat. Even so, we paskin that kovsa ain zokiklo. The Rishonim are going to tell you that even if you hold osul ishtamishli ora, but in the case of kovsa, you're allowed to do whatever you want with this oil. Why? What status is forfeited the moment that the candle is extinguished? Ner mitzvah. It's no longer ner chanukah. So now he's taking another ner to replace the first ner in order to achieve his goal of mahadrim min mahadrim. Pili ploim to say such a thing. How can you tell me that you can replace a ner with a second ner in order to achieve that calculation, that total sum, the summation of eight candles? Well, who says that the second candle... Let me just finish my question and then you'll attack me. But I'm glad that you're attacking me, because otherwise you'd fall asleep in the shiur. So who says, which birdie whispered into the ears of the Chofetz Chaim that another candle that I take, or even for that matter this candle, if I fill it up with oil and rekindle it, has the status of a ner mitzvah, so that now it's osel ishtamish liora, and now I can use it to be mashlim the mispar yomim and achieve mahadrim rav mahadrim? If there was a hadlaka and I have the ner that I lit, or to use your language, Osher, was part of my original kavanah when I ate the bracha, so that ner, insofar as part of my original bracha, has the status of a ner mitzvah. But that ner is history, right? It's gone. Now you're going to replace it? Just take another ner off your shelf, or use the oil that's left over. Again, in the case we use the oil that's left over, maybe there I could say. But again, that oil no longer has any status because we hold kofsa ein zokiklo. So now you're going to say, well, I'm going to resurrect that oil, rekindle it, and now it has the status of a ner chanukah. And so I can be mekayim the number 8, the mispar yomim, and the hidim ha'adrif. In Yiddish we say, fun vana vesta. Where do you know such a thing from? Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry for being, I'm fighting against the Mishnah Berurah. That's a heavy, that's a heavy thing.
You're saying that because you made the bracha originally, I can understand it more if it's a separate candle. You're saying you made the bracha originally on those 8 designated candles.
And you fulfilled your mitzvah already. Because we all kavsa.
Ain't
zakakla. So once you've fulfilled your mitzvah, what status does the ner have?
It doesn't have that.
And now you're going to take another ner, go to your... Again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't qualify. I read to you the entire Mishnah Berurah. So I'm going to go to my closet, or to my, Michael, you don't know what I mean by this, but to my Telzer candles. You have to understand, Michael, that in America, since my childhood, the Telzer Yeshiva sends out
44 candles.
Yeah, it sends out a box of, with a self-addressed envelope, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to go to my closet, take out my Telzer, the candles from Cleveland, in order to get the number 8. Who says such a thing? If the candle has the status of a ner mitzvah, so it seems that there's a Gevaldik Achidush here in the Mishnah Berurah that any candle that I use in order to achieve some sort of kavod, that itself gives it the status of a ner mitzvah, even though I held kav saying zokiklo, and he was mekayim the mitzvah. The mitzvah's already done. Now he wants to do a mahajim and mahajim with a brand new adlok of a new candle that he takes off his shoulder, his closet? Maybe. I hate to be argumentative, but...
But maybe it's an understanding. What's mahajim and mahajim? What are they doing by the extra days? The mitzvah is already fulfilled with one candle. Everybody agrees
right. That
the near mitzvah, one candle is enough for near mitzvah.
Right.
So what actually is Mahadim and Hadim doing by adding those 7 more candles? So is it really necessarily a mitzvah, a part of the mitzvah, or is it just because we need it for the Hakara?
So I'll give you an example. I'll give you another example. The Gemara in Shabbos says the following. That meal on the 8th day, if it coincides with Shabbos, is allowed. The Torah says, "Afilu biyom hashmini," if it's Shabbos, correct? So the Gemara says the following: what's the deal with what's called tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila? There's certain parts of the membrane of the skin that it's a zekeli ma'avev to remove them, but the mila is kosher without it. Can I violate the Shabbos and remove even the tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila? So Gemara says the following. If the Moel has not removed his hand from the knife, in other words, he's still holding the knife, and then he wants to add to the chituch, even the tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila, that he's allowed to do. That's docha Shabbos. But the very moment that he lifts up his hand, and now he wants to come back in order to cut the tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila, those parts of the membrane which are not required, but it's just zekeli mi'aveh, that's to beautify the mitzvah, that he's not allowed to do, because that would violate the Shabbos. Just give me a second. Says the Brisker Rav, what's the difference? Oh, so Brisker Rav says the following. Hider mitzvah is also docha Shabbos, but b'medvar mamurim, only if that hider mitzvah is part and parcel of the original maisa mila. If the original maisa mila is complete, then there's no status to a new maisa that's only geared mechuvad for a purpose that's only for the purpose of what? Of hider mitzvah. So again, you know, as long as he's within the original hadlaka, as you said before, he's going to light 8 candles. If that's the extended hadlaka, then the hider mitzvah is part and parcel of his maisa mitzvah, and therefore he's expanding and enhancing his maisa mitzvah with mahajim and mahajim. But once he completes the maisa, you know, it's that candle that he lit is already gone. So at this point, he wants to start with a brand new hadlaka, taking another candle off his shelf. Who says that candle could be integrated into his original hadlaka?
Because he didn't fulfill the mahajim menahajim yet.
He hasn't fulfilled the mahajim of tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila, and yet the Brisker Rav points out that it's not a hider mitzvah. Why? Because the hider mitzvah has to be integrated into the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, like I told you before, I took one esrog and there was no hider. Now I'm going to take another esrog. It's a brand new maisa v'lekachtav lachem. There's no hider in taking another esrog. In fact, listen to this. Reb Chaim used to ask his talmidim, just to sharpen their minds, the following question. You have in front of you 2 esrogim. One, you're not sure if it's an esrog. It might be a murkav. Let's call it a lemon. It's a suffolk lemon, suffolk esrog. The other esrog is definitely an esrog. However, the one that's a suffolk esrog is stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. Right? And the one that's a vadai esrog, right? And definitely you can fulfill your mitzvah, is poshut. You know, it's very simple. It has no element of hidur, of beauty whatsoever. So Reb Chaim used to put these 2 esrogim, kavyochel, on the table, and he used to ask his talmidim, which one should he take first and which one should he take second? So what would have been your knee-jerk response? Take the poshut one. Says Reb Chaim, nein. Take the suffolk first, and then take the poshut one. Why? Because if you take the suffolk first, then if it turns out that that's an esrog, what else have you gained? Hider mitzvah. But if you take the kosher one first, and it's completely mufkat, has no element of hider, then you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah zekei l'miyaveyu, no way, no how. Why? Because once you mekayim the mitzvah, then now you have a new maisa mitzvah on the second esrog. That's meaningless. You cannot separate the zekeh liaveyu from a person who's already achieved the mitzvah. Did you hear this, Rav Osai? This is how Rav Chaim used to sharpen the minds of his talmidim.
You can't make a bracha. You can't make a, this is a mitzvah deraisa. How can you make a bracha on the tilas lulav on an estro, but you don't even know if it's kosher or not?
No, let's say, for example, I have 2 lulavim. I have your lulav and my lulav. So I have doubts about my lulav. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, Michael, can I shake your lulav? Again, you have to know about the first day and the other days, you know, because of lekatim lachem and ownership, matano menas lahatsi, or whatever it might be. So, how can I make the bracha both on my lulav and your lulav? So I have a right to say that, Kodesh Baruch, I'm going to take both lulavim, and you up in Shemayim, you'll decide whether my bracha is on this lulav or that lulav, you know, whichever one is kosher. That I can do. Reb Chaim used to ask his talmidim, but in what sequence should he take these 2 esrogim? And the natural response, the knee-jerk response, that's why he used to sharpen his talmidim, would be to say, well, take the vade kosher first. So guarantee yourself the yotze mitzvah, says Reb Chaim Naim. If you take the vade kosher first, then you've absolutely barricaded yourself, excluded yourself from zekei l'mian ve'yu. If, on the other hand, you take the suffix murka first, then 50%, Hashem knows upstairs that it might be an esrog. If it's an esrog, then on that netilah, you've accomplished zekei l'mian ve'yu. But if you take the kosher first, then you already owe to your mitzvah. Once you're already owe to mitzvah, you can't generate a whole new ma'isa mitzvah. It's like taking two esrogim kshirim one after the other. The first one is a mitzvah, the second one is not. I'm only pointing this out to you because I think that there's a tremendous chiddush here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is saying that even though I was yotze my mitzvah of ner ishu beso, I can still take another candle and replace the first candle with a new adlaka once I fulfill the mitzvah of ner ishu beso in order to achieve the mitzvah of mahadrim and a mahadrim. That to me is a gemaldige chiddush. That's a pretty radical chiddush. Now I want to add one last thing. In the back of the Masifta, there's something called the Otzer Iyunim. And in the Otzer Iyunim, again, if you want a photocopy of this, I could make one for you, but just, it doesn't matter. I'll just read a few words. He says the following. This is on page Chaf Ches. Yesh Ladun. He has the following suffix. Misha hoyelo rak ner echod lahadlik biyom sheni. Okay, he's got one ner and he's up to the second night of Chanukah. So what did he do? He went ahead and he lit the one ner because, again, he doesn't fulfill the Mahadrin. And certainly not the Mahajim Min Mahajim, but at least Chachi fulfills Ner Yishu Beso. Because all you need technically is one candle each night. So he only has one candle. Acharkach. An hour later, Lamazog. Nizdame lo Ner Nosaf. Somebody, you know, he inherits his uncle, his great uncle dies, and in the inheritance he gets another Ner. So now he has two Neros. Yesh Lodin Haim Yadlik. Wait, let's go slowly. Michael, again, my mathematical mind moves a lot slower than yours, right? That's why, you know, you achieved whatever you achieved in your life. And I couldn't, you know. Don knows what I mean. At math, I'm very slow. So you have to bear with me. So again, the Otzer Ayunim raises the following question. The first Nair went out. It's on the second night. And now he gets a second Nair? He says the following: Ha'im yadlik es aner asheni li'achar shekava ner arishon v'yikayim es ahidur. Oh, she'i efshal l'kayim es ahidur achrei shekava kvar ner arishon. New Rabbi will say, what's going to be the answer of the Chofetz Chaim to this question?
You haven't achieved it.
Because what do you need according to the Chofetz Chaim, Phil?
You need both.
Correct, you need both. Now, it doesn't mean that the ball game is over. I would have said ball game over. Meaning you lit the first candle, an hour later after the first candle goes out, you only had one candle, you get a second candle. Get it. You know, this, it's meaningless. The Chofetz Chaim would say in this case that what should he do? If let's say his great uncle died and left him two candles, he'd like both candles. Which again, as I told you, from my perspective, is very much of a chiddush, because how can you light two candles to be Makai Mahadrin is Mahadrin when you already were yotzei the mitzvah? Okay, fine. So that's the gevaldige chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim.
Without the bracha.
No, I'm just saying, there's no such thing as without a bracha. Meaning, you could say without a bracha in a case where you have a suffix, or you were yotzei already, this and that. But to say that you do a meaningless act of just lighting candles for the sake of Mahadrin, there's no such thing. Again, if the Rabbanan would be mataking a new mitzvah called Mahadrin V'lo Min HaMahadrin, a brand new mitzvah, fine. But if it's because of Zekei L'Mi'aveh to enhance your mitzvah's gone already. If you were yotze your mitzvah, the first nair that you light, you only had one there, and kava means that you were kind of the mitzvah because kava says zokah. Now you want to start from scratch and light two candles. But that's the Chofetz Chaim's chiddush. So who's Burr's on to question the Chofetz Chaim? So again, he's saying he doesn't know, he vacillates back and forth, whether or not he can light this candle that he got, and he says maybe Efshar. He can't be Mekayim the Hidur Mitzvah Reshikova Ner Harishon. So the Chofetz Chaim at this point would object, and he would say, you're right, except for one proviso. If you have two candles now, his great uncle left him in Yerusha two candles, he's going to light the two candles without a bracha, as Larry said. But he's going to fulfill the mitzvah of Keneged Mispar Yomim, the Mahajim and the Mahajim. The Og Yesh Lodu, now he has another suffer. Right, the af im nomar she'eno yochel l'kayim esahidra yidei adlokas ner nosof kevet shekvar kova nera rishon mikol makom ha'im yochel lahadlik ashov shtei neros. Okay, that was our scenario. Now his great uncle died and he inherited two neros. So let me ask you the following question. What does the Mishnah Brura mean when he says that in this case, kofsa zakukla, meaning that he needs, in order to achieve the mahajim and the mahajim, to have all eight candles burning simultaneously on the eighth night of Chanukah, correct? And he says, yachsor v'yadlik, if one of them goes out, yachsor v'yadlik. So I'm going to ask you the following question. I'm going to read to you the language. This is the third time I'm reading to you the Mishnah Berurah because it's very abridged, you know. He says, venerally, to be inon v'es hadlokah, she yakol aneris lufi cheshbar ayomim, v'oz nechshav lahad, v'alkeinim kovsa achas, kodem she hishlim hahadlokah, is yachsar ladlika. Rabbosai, what three words does the Mishnah Berurah add over here? Shall I read it to you again? He says, number one, be'inan b'shas adlok, shiu kol aneris dolkin lufi cheshvin ayomim. Correct? Everybody's with me? You need all eight candles to lit alive, right? Simultaneously. And he says the following, al-kain, im kofsa achas. Now listen carefully to the next three words of the Mishnah Berurah. Kodem shehishlim hadloka is chozer umadlika. Right? Why does he add those three words? Kodim shehishlim adlaka.
Because it's all one. It's all one unit.
Exactly. What he means to say is that until he completes the adlaka of all the neros, he's still involved in what? In the mitzvah of the ma'is adlaka. The ma'is adlaka is still going on. So the Otzer HaIyunim wants to suggest that if one candle that he lit went out, and now his great uncle, it's on the second night, dies and leaves in the Yerusha two candles, he should light both candles for the sake of Mahajim and Mahajim, even though his one candle went out. And he says in the next paragraph, Yesh la viraya mi'abir alocha, this bir alocha that he just quoted. I'm writing a note to the, you know, what's it called when you write a note to the editor, you know. What? I have a letter that I want to write to the Otzer unit. And I would write the following letter. What proof do you have from the Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah is talking about Kodem Shehishlim Es Hadlaka.
Hishlim Hadlaka, that's what he's saying. He only lit one, he's supposed to light two. You're saying that he had to have all eight,
right,
in front of himself.
Right.
But if he's saying that
the Otzer,
saying, you, it's a night to light two, or let's say eight. He only had seven.
Right.
So he had started lighting seven and then,
right,
went out, and then one of them went out. It's no different than just one candle. That's what you say. It's no different than one candle and eight candles. He only had two candles. He was supposed to light two. He only lit one. It wasn't
right
there.
So Asha, I'm claiming that's not what the Mishnah has in mind. Again, you can read it again and again. It's right here. The Mishnah Berurah has in mind, how do I fulfill this Mahajim and Mahajrin, Kodem Shehishlim Es Adlaka? But if he was Mashlim Adlaka and his Nair went out, and now an hour later his uncle dies,
but
that's not the Mishnah Berurah.
He wasn't Mashlim according to Mahajim and Mahajrin.
No, again, hashlama means he has to be mashlam and maisad laka. That's what the Mishnah Berurah means. There's no proof from this Mishnah Berurah that an hour later, after Kavsa Ner, and he was already Makayim the Ikar Mitzvah, that he can now create a new maisad laka simply for the purpose of Mahajim and Mahajim. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah means. The Mishnah Berurah's chiddush is that I can take another Ner, and that Ner could be integrated into the Mahajim and Mahajim, as long as Kodem Sheishlim is Hadlok, as long as he involved in the Mais Hadlok. Excuse me. But the Mais Hadlok is complete. I don't believe that the Mishnah Berurah would allow you to take another Esrog and say, I'm going to take the second Esrog after I fulfill my mitzvah for the sake of Hidur Mitzvah.
But he's saying he hasn't fulfilled his Hidur Mitzvah yet. He's in the middle of doing it.
Doesn't matter. Can I take a second Esrog and say, I'm going to take the second Esrog for the sake of the Hidur Mitzvah? There was no Hidur in my first Esrog.
Because you're only going to have one Esrog. Here we have eight candles. He hasn't fulfilled his Mahadim and Mahadim, his Hidur Mitzvah.
But that's what I'm telling you, Asher. You can't tell me if he's in the middle of the Hadlaka. I'm granting you. But if the Hadlaka ended already, he had one candle and it went out.
But
you can't just automatically create a Hidur Mitzvah just when you fulfill the Mitzvah. There's no possibility of creating a Hidur Mitzvah when the Mitzvah is fulfilled already. If you told Kedei the Hadlaka, the Mishnah Berurah has an unbelievable Kiddush that Tol Kedei the Hadlaka, Vekodem Shishlam as Hadlaka, he can be Makayim the Mitzvah of Hidur Mitzvah. And he can replace another Ner. But not after you fulfill the mitzvah. After you fulfill the mitzvah, there's no such thing as either mitzvah. So Rabosa, you can argue with me from now till doomsday, but I'm telling you that I'm right and you're wrong. Why am I telling you that? Not because I think I'm brighter than you, but because I know all over the place that there's no such thing as Hidur Mitzvah once you fulfilled your mitzvah. It's gigantic. But if you're telling me this Gavaldiga Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah Kodem Shehishlam is Hadlaka, it means that it's like Tzitzin She'eno Ma'akven Esambila, when he didn't lift up his hand, and now he could continue his Maisa Mila, even though he's only doing so for the purpose of what? Of Hidur Mitzvah. Why? Because since it's Tol Kedei, the Maisa Mila, says the Brisker Rav, now the Hidur Mitzvah is still part of the Mitzvah. But there's no such thing as a Hidur Mitzvah once I was Makayim the Mitzvah. So this Oter Ayunim is based on a mistaken reading of the Mishnah Berurah. And he doesn't understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. The Mishnah Berurah is not saying that you can fulfill the mitzvah then, Boker Tov, start a new Hadlaka for the sake of the mitzvah of Mahajim and Ahajim. A man fulfilled his mitzvah, now he's going to say, well, wait a minute, I didn't get the mitzvah Ayomim. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to take candles and I'm going to make a Hidur mitzvah. No, there's no such thing. That would be totally amoratzis. Once you fulfill the mitzvah, get ended. There's no room for either mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah is making chadish something called Tol Kedei Hadlaka. If you're still involved in that luck, you haven't finished the mitzvah, then I'm going to give you an option to achieve the Hidur Mitzvah. But he's saying that after he lit the one candle and it went out, now his uncle dies and he inherits candles, he's going to be Mekayim the Hidur Mitzvah. And his raya is from this Mishnah Berurah. I'm sorry, Rabosai. Look, you know, I have a certain tradition in understanding halacha. I had some good rebbeim. I'm not going to go into detail. This makes no sense. And from where I came from, if you said such a thing, you'd be thrown out of class. Because there is no such thing as doing a Hidur Mitzvah as a Hidur Mitzvah once you fulfill the Mitzvah. Get it? You fulfill the Mitzvah.
Wait.
Can we get some air in here?
It's all used up now.
Yeah. Is there room to define the fulfillment of the mitzvah, not just lighting, but also that it should stay lit for 30 minutes? Because if you can call that some room to do that,
right,
the fulfillment, then you're still during the
Shlomo, you want to go even beyond the Mishnah Berurah, and I respect what you're saying, and it could be you're right. But that's not the case of the Oter Ayunim. The case of the Oter Ayunim is that the candle went out. If the candle went out, Kofsein Zokikla, thank you, you Makayim the Mitzvah of Ner Yishu Beso. Now to start a brand new Hadlaka because you inherited candles, that's ridiculous.
We light the candle that went out. We do it all the time. If you're with the kids and the wind came in and blew out one or two of the candles, We realize that, yeah.
Go ahead, do what you want. But it's meaningless, you know. Why is it meaningless? Because the mitzvah's gone already. You know, you can't start a mitzvah if the mitzvah's already fulfilled. There's no such thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's say, for example, I ate a meal, and now I benched. Can I bench a second time? You know, you get one shot at a mitzvah, and if you fail, then you'll get a second shot, and a third shot, and endless. But if you already succeeded in being a kind of mitzvah, there's no second shot at the mitzvah for the sake of Hidur. Once the mitzvah is achieved, you can't just create a Hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's not a new entity. Hidur mitzvah is to enhance a mitzvah when you're chayav in the mitzvah. But to light candles, no offense, that's not a mitzvah. So his diuk in the Mishnah Berurah, Lefiani is daiti, is not correct. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah has in mind. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah added these three words, Kodim Shehishlim Es Adlaka. He's still involved in Adlaka. But if he finished Adlaka, he was Yotze the Mitzvah, don't talk to me about Mahajrin or Mahajrin Min Mahajrin. It's too late. Now, I could ask you the following question. Yeah, Don.
So, based upon that,
again, Rav Osi, anything I say to you in Shia, you can go out of Shia and you can disagree with me. Obviously, it's a free country. But certain things, I mean, are so, you know, they're so ingrained that I get very, very to hits about it.
So it's the eighth day. He's in the process of lighting the candles. He's at candle six. Candle one goes out. He can go back and light.
According to the Mishnah Berurah, which I don't understand, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
And he can go back and light candle one. But once he finishes candle eight and the candle one goes out, then that's it.
Well, wait a second. If he finishes candle eight, then that has nothing to do with our discussion. You're talking, well, when did it go out? It went out after he finished candle eight?
Yeah.
So was there a second in time? Was there one split second in time when all eight candles were lit?
Yes.
That's not what we're discussing. No, in that case is a clear-cut case. He fulfilled not only the mitzvah, he fulfilled the mahajim bin mahajim. That's called kavsa ainzof. The question is, he didn't get to candle number eight yet, right, or candle whatever number you're up to tonight, and one of the candles went out, so that he will not have the misfar hayomim simultaneously lit. Council of the Mishnah Berurah, the Gevaldik Chiddush. He's kodem sheishlam adlaka. He can add another candle. But, you know, to go a step further and say, well, you know, I lit one candle and now an hour later I'm going to replace it for the sake of the Mahajrin, that doesn't say the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. And that's antithetical to our logic. Okay. Now, yeah. Now I want to share with you a chiddush of the Tosfos HaRosh. In other words, we have our Tosfosin, and then the Rosh had his Tosfosin. That's called the Tosfos HaRosh. If you're interested in the history, there's an unbelievable book by a Professor Auerbach called Balei HaTosfos. Of course, Professor Chorsky enhanced it, but that's the Chumash of understanding the history of the Balei HaTosfos. There were literally hundreds of Balei HaTosfos, and you know, we think that what we have printed on our page, you know, that's the be all and the end all of Tosfos. It's not so.
Who's the
author? His name was Auerbach. Aleph Reish Bet Chav. Phil, if you have your phone, maybe you could plug into your phone, Google Balei HaTosfos. It's mamash a classic. You know, if you studied in Harvard back in the day and you wanted to get your PhD from Professor Chorsky, may rest in peace, and I wish you luck. I think my friend Rabbi Shapiro never actually got his PhD. Yeah. We used to call it the Harvard Kollel. If you were in this was a branch of Harvard called the Judaica, and Professor Chorsky, the Tolner Rebbe, was the chairman of the Department of Judaica at Harvard. And if you wanted to get a PhD under Professor Chorsky, Habaguta Mazel, I wish you the greatest Mazel. I mean, and maybe come back to me in 25 years and maybe you'll be lucky if you got your PhD. But this much I can tell you, he would not accept you to the program if you were not familiar with Professor Auerbach's magnum opus on the Balei HaTosfos. I mean, because otherwise you don't know beans about the history of the Rishonim, you know. Oh, so what's the Kiddush of the Tosfos of Rosh? Okay. So in order to appreciate the Tosfos of Rosh, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch for a second. And we'll talk about the Mahadrim in a Mahadrim. This is in Tafresh Ayin Aleph. So the Mechaber Paskins the following. Kama Neros Madlik. How many candles should he light? Belaila Rishon Madlik Echad. Mikan V'Elech. Mosif V'Holech Echad. Bechol Laila. Ad Shebelel HaAchron Yiyu Shmona. Now, before I read the next line in the Mechaber, I want you to guess what he's going to say in the next line. So if you don't have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you, I'm in good luck. Because now I can test you. What do you anticipate? What question is the Mechaber going to have to address now? Because it sounds like he's misleading us. On the first night he lights one candle. On the second night he lights two candles. Until on the last night he lights eight candles. What question should you ask?
Questions. One.
But the most fundamental question, which he's going to address in the next line.
What if he doesn't have enough candles?
No. I mean, Akasha, there's something missing in the Mishnah in the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean eight candles? Do you happen to remember the number of candles that the Rambam would require? Do you remember that magic number on the eighth day? How many candles?
Nine.
No, the Rambam has 80.
Do
you remember
that?
So what's going on in this Mechaber? The Mechaber says that on the first night you light one, on the second night you light two, and on the eighth night you light eight. That's not really true. What's he cutting out now? No. What's he cutting out now?
Mahadran,
exactly. David's right. What about the Mahadran? The Mahadran says that Kenegan Ishu Beisa. So you're going to tell me maybe the Mechaber is talking about a single fellow who has no roommates, right? Possible. Zok the Mechaber vafilu im rabim bnei abayis lo yadlik yosef. In other words, the Mechaber is paskening like the re-intosis that we spent a lot of time on, that is an either-or situation. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Either you take the Mahadrin or you take the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Which do we prefer in an either-or situation? The Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Again, why that's so... Tzarchi and Godel, that needs a lot of work. But in any event, we prefer the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. So the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin is Kenegan Mispar Yomim, but we got to drop the ball on the Mahadrin, Kenegan Ishu Beiso. And therefore, Afilu, Zokhti Mechaber, Afilu im Rabbi Bnei Abayis, Lo Yadliko Yosef. So let's say Rabosei has five people living in the house. How many candles is he going to light?
Eight.
How do you know it's eight? Because he says, Balaila Rishon Madlik Echad. Anybody want to ask Akasha? How many candles should he light on the first night?
Five.
Why five? Because there's no conflict now with the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, right? The Mahadrin min HaMahadrin means that if you're adding candles that reflect the additional members of the household, at the same time you're lighting candles that reflect the additional days of this, so the Roeh, the onlooker, is confused. He doesn't know what this number represents, right? Let's say you get to the fifth night. So is it because there are five members? He sees five candles. Is that because five members of the household, or is it five days of Hanukkah? He can never tell, right? So you're in either or situation. But what about on the first night? On the first night, there's no problem with the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim because there is no Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. In other words, Ner Yishu Beiso, which is the main mitzvah, and Mahadrim and Mahadrim are equal, are identical on the first night. So there's no conflict here with Mahadrim and Mahadrim. In such a case, a chach, at the very least, he should be Mekayim what? The Ner Yishu Beiso, at least the Mahadrim. David, that was what you said?
I confess.
And he should light five candles on the first night. Yeah.
This onlooker.
Oh.
Does this onlooker know which night of Hanukkah it is?
Okay. Okay. Good. Because good. Good. So that's what I wanted to show you. This is the Tosfos HaRosh. Remember, I told you that I wanted to share with you a chiddush in the Tosfos HaRosh. The Tosfos HaRosh was machaven to Michael Isaacs.
No, I think that was.
And he says the following: Im yadlik b'leil rishon k'minyan b'nei abayis. If he's going to light five candles on the first night, lo yehi nikar b'yom hasheni shemadlik lefi minyan hayomim. In other words, what does the onlooker expect if he sees five candles on the first night? He expects what I call progression, right? We're all in favor of progress, right? We belong to the progressive movement in this context, not beyond that, right? And why are we so progressive? Because he saw the number of candles. Remember, Michael, we always ask, who is this onlooker? Is it Reuven on Sunday and it's Shimon on Monday? Or it's the same Reuven who passes by your window on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? Well, the Tosfos HaRosh is assuming, okay, wait, we still have 5 minutes. Somehow when I hear that noise, I feel like a Chinaman. Is there anything is there anything Asian about that tune, or it's just my, I don't know. Anyway, so he says the following. He says, V'nira she'esh yoser hidu lebeis hillel k'shemadlik b'leil harishon ner echad l'chol abayis. If we want to achieve the Mahadrim and Mahadrim, then we should light only one candle on the first night. Umisham v'elich Mosif. He says your other option is mimasha haya osef biyom rishon ner l'chol echad v'echad. He says the afilu im Yosef mikan v'elich, if he starts with the number of people in the household on the first night and then he adds candles with each progression, with each additional light, mishum deleka hakera deshema ose keneged yomim anichnosim sheyesvurim shenitvasvu bnei abayis. Now, once he starts his get-go position, you know, his, what word am I looking for? If he jump starts on the first night with a mahadrin, then at some point, when there's a whole bunch of neros, the onlooker is going to assume that the numbers of candles will now be what? Will now be reflective of nitvasu b'nei abayis. You know, I gave you the example, you know, the yeshiva bach comes back for Chanukah from the dormitory, so he all of a sudden he adds another candle. But at no point will it be clear to the onlooker that what? That the number of candles reflected days. K'mispar hayom. So in other words, there are two premises here in the Tosfos HaRosh. Number one, the first premise is that the whole thrust of Mahadrim and Mahadrim is for the sake of the onlooker, for the sake of, you know, Hekera, so that he understands that this number reflects the number of days. And premise number two is, you've got already jumpstart on the first night with one day. Once you've set your records for one day, then on the second night you light a second candle. So it's 2 days, and you've achieved on the second night the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. So the Chayodom writes, Im yesh li odom rak chelek me'aneros. Let's say a person on the third night has only two candles. Should he light the two candles on the second night? We just finished saying that according to Tosfos HaRosh, the whole thrust of Mahadrim and Mahadrim is the Hekera, that this is the number of days of Chanukah. He says, Ein hidr ladlikam. He should not be lighting two candles on the second night. Why? I'm sorry, on the third night. He says, Kevon shahidur eno miskayim ela badlokos haneros shel oso hayom. So this is fascinating. In other words, according to Chayodom, the definition of Mahadrin min Mahadrin is always mispar hayomim. In other words, there's no point to adding candles beyond the number one unless you can achieve mispar hayomim. So on day three, if you're going to add one candle, meaning if you have two candles and you don't achieve mispar hayomim, that's not called Mahadrin min Mahadrin. And therefore, you might as well go back to what? To Ner Ishu Beso and light only one candle. That's the Chayod. Who argues with the Chayyotom? The Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yosef Ber Brisker, says the following, that Beis Hillel has another explanation. If you recall the two Rav Yossis that we spoke about, and the second Rav Yossi, Beis Hillel was based on Milim B'Kodesh Ve'er, Ein Moridin B'Kodesh. Now, if you lit two candles on the second night, when you got to the third night, you only have two candles, you're going to light one candle, like the Chayyadim would dictate, then you violate the principle of Ein Moridin, because you've lowered the numbers of candles. And furthermore, says the Beis HaLevi, even beyond that, it could be that the mitzvah of Mahadrin, okay, I'm sorry, Mahadrin to Mahadrin, is made up of two elements. Even if we go back to the first Rav Yossi of Keneged Yomim Ayotzi, this is really profound. Let's see if we can follow this logic. Now, it's true, I grant you, that the Chayyadim is correct, that Mahajim and Mahajim requires Hekeira. But is Hekeira a definition of the Maisa Mitzvah, or is Hekeira a definition of the Yesod HaMitzvah, or the Tam HaMitzvah? Let's see if I can explain this in the minute that we have. If you assume, like the Chayyadim, then it's not just that the reason for Mahadrin and Mahadrin, the Tam HaMahadrin and Mahadrin, is Hekeira, but even the Maisa Mitzvah itself has to have Hekeira. And we define the mitzvah and its action in the light of its goal, of its reasoning, of its Tam. So if the goal is A, then the Maisa Mitzvah is A. The goal is the Hekeira of the Mispar Yomim. The Maisa Mitzvah, from the perspective of Mahajib and Mahajib, is going to be Mispar Yomim. And then the Chayyadim is correct, and on the third night, there's no point to lighting two candles. Says the Beis HaLevi, and this is elaborated on by the Avi Ezri, I don't know if you know, there's a great yeshiva in Bnei Brak called Ponovich, the founding father of that yeshiva was the Ponovich of Rav. His name was Kahaneman, but the Rosh Yeshiva for most of the decades was Rav Shach. Says Rav Shach in his Avia Ezri that he doesn't agree with the Chayyadim. He thinks that although the Tama mitzvah of the Chayyadim is right, of Mahajim and Mahajim is Hekeira, but the Maisa mitzvah is Hosafas Neros, Ribui Neros. And therefore, even on the third night, he should light two Neros. Why? Because by adding the second Ner, he fulfills Mahajim and Mahadrin, to some extent, with Ribui Neros, meaning he went beyond the one Ner. So the Mahajim and Mahadrin was organized for the purpose of the Roeh understanding that this is X number of nights of Hanukkah. However, even though that's why it was established, the way it was defined is by Ribui HaNeros, which means to add to one candle of Ner Ish U'Beisa. The very moment I go beyond one candle, I've already achieved Mahajim and Mahadrin because I have Ribui HaNeros. The Chayyadim, on the other hand, understood it, that not only is Hekeira for Mispar Yomim the Tam, the Yesod of the Mitzvah, it's also the Geder HaMitzvah, that's how we define the Maisa Mitzvah, and if you don't achieve Ribui HaNeros and Hekeira, then it's pointless, and therefore you don't fulfill Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. So Halacha L'Maisa, Rabosa, we have a machlokes between the Chayyadim and a whole other school of thought. What do you do on the third night if you only have two candles? The Chayyadim insists that you light one candle because there's no vestige left of the Mahajim and Mahajrin. Two candles on the third night is meaningless because the mitzvah Mahajim and Mahajrin begins and exhausts itself with the Hekeira of Mispar Yom. You don't have that Hekeira of Mispar Yom. You only have two candles. It's the third night. Whereas the Avi Ezri argues you should light two candles on the third night because although the original reason that motivated the Chazal to introduce Mahajim and Mahajrin was the Hekeira, nevertheless, the Geder HaMitzvah, the way they organize the mitzvah, is Ribui HaNeros. And Ribui HaNeros is achieved whenever you go beyond one Ner. According to the Beis HaLevi, we have another element to inject into the equation, and that is Ma'alim V'Kodesh V'lo Moridin. On the second night, he lit two candles. Chas V'Sholom. Then on the third night, he should drop down to one candle. Right? We'll stop. Anyway, I have any questions, I'm here to answer.
On the fourth night, and you only have two candles, what would the Beis Halel do then?
He would say you have to light two candles. Why? Because of the Avi Ezri Svar. Again, here I don't know if you can see Yesh Lako. What's Emo Reden? Is Emo Reden relative to the first night, or is it only relevant to the previous night? You follow what I'm saying? So he's already violated the Emo Reden, but if you go down to one candle, then it's a real Mo Reden. You know, it's an extra Mo Reden. But if you hold like the Avi Ezri, Rav Shach, then he can be Mekayim the Hidur Mitzvah, at least partially through Ribui Hanero. So even on the fourth night, he should light two candles.
Well, I was going to say, once you, let's say, you go follow the Chayavim, and on the second night, on the third night, you're like
one candle.
If on the fourth night, you suddenly get a whole new supply of candles, should you go back to Mahadim and Ahadim?
Yes.
Can you go back?
Right. So I think, Michael, what you're implying is, what are we doing with the Tosa Rush? The Tosa Rush says that the Hakeira is built on a progression.
Exactly.
And now we're in deep trouble. We're deep in the mud here, because what kind of progression is it? You know, can you play checkers and skip over 1, 2, 4? Yeah, 1, 2, 1, 4. Right, right.
What if you don't have a choice? What if?
Right, so I think that even the Tosa Rush might say in such a case that, you know, we have to worry about the one person who didn't see it yesterday, you know, who didn't have the progression. Rav Osai, this is so profound. This sugya of Mahajim, Mahajim, Mahajim. There's so many different elements here in the equation.
I guess you always need a box of 44 as a backup.
Right. That's good.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was it?
So, Phil, let me say goodbye to you.